Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. So glad to be back on the show today with Jim Joyce. He's the executive director of the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania. They're doing support, education, and advocacy about this rare but serious disease. Jim, you've taught us so much about myasthenia gravis over the years, but why don't you recap for people at home who may not have heard about it?
Sure, and thank you for this opportunity, Jen, for sure. So myasthenia gravis is a chronic neuromuscular condition that causes serious weakness of a person's voluntary muscles. It can strike a person at any age, irregardless of their age, race, any kind of male or female, but it usually occurs often in women under the age of 40 and men in over the age of 50, but that's not a hard and fast rule. It can make many parts of your day very, very difficult, such as walking, talking. It may impact your vision because it may cause your eyelids to droop. It may cause difficulty breathing or swallowing. And a lot of times will cause a lot of weakness in your appendages, like your arms and legs. So someone may get fatigued very easily. And have to take a lot of breaks related to their myasthenia gravis. Right now, there is no cause or cure, but there are a lot of new treatments for myasthenia gravis, which gives people a lot of hope going forward related to the disease. One of the things I think we've talked about in the past is it's called the snowflake disease because it manifests itself so differently in every person. So just like they say, there's no two snowflakes that are exactly alike. There's also no two people with myasthenia gravis that are exactly alike. As you mentioned before, it's an extremely rare disease. It occurs in about one in every 7,000 people. So it is considered a rare disease. And it's ex estimated that approximately 80,000 people in the United States have myasthenia gravis. So organizations like ours, as you mentioned before, are there to provide education, advocacy for these individuals, and then support as well. So we do a lot of hard work and help a lot of people, which is great.
How this organization came together, because sometimes it takes some families, some people to get together when they're impacted by it to start a foundation like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're actually coming up on a milestone. Next year will be our 70th year in helping people with myasthenia gravis. So we were founded back in 1955 by a father whose young daughter, she was in her teens. She was diagnosed with this mysterious illness that the father knew very little about. That, of course, was myasthenia gravis. So he actually took out an ad in the local Pittsburgh paper and said, "Hey, if anyone else has heard of this or is experiencing these symptoms, we're going to get together on such and such a date and talk about it and try to support each other." And from those very humble beginnings, 70 years later, Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania is still living up to that original mission of supporting people with this disease.
From a newspaper ad and people. Really, let's talk about the functionality of what you do. There are various categories, including education and advocacy and fundraising for research. So, take us through each piece of that.
Sure. So you'd hit on a lot of them. So one of our primary missions is to educate people, not only people with myasthenia gravis, but also their family members, the healthcare community, the community at large about the disease, because it is so rare. Unless you know someone with the disease, you may not know a lot about it. So one of the things we do is provide numerous ways for people to be educated. We have online support and education groups where we talk about different treatments, different types of support that's out there. We did a program in around the holidays last year about traveling with myasthenia gravis, because when someone has a disease such as myasthenia gravis, you may have to plan ahead, especially if you're going on a vacation where you're going to be out of town. You may need access to healthcare or medications. It's very important to have all those things sort of planned out ahead of time. So in the event something would occur, you're not in a crisis situation. We also, as you mentioned, do a lot of advocacy work. We really focus on trying to talk to individuals, whether it be from a political point of view, elected officials, or from a healthcare point of view, physicians or other healthcare providers, really trying to educate them about myasthenia gravis, not just from a physical perspective of how it may impact a person and their physical well-being, but also their emotional, their social well-being, and even on a lot of levels, their financial well-being. As I mentioned before, myasthenia gravis can cause really overwhelming weakness in an individual, making it difficult sometimes for them to work or perform their jobs. So we really want to be an advocate for them with their employer to make sure that if the employer has questions, we're able to answer them. If they have to make certain kind of accommodations in the workplace, we can help them to achieve that. And then from an elected official perspective, making sure that treatments for myasthenia gravis and medications are covered by insurance providers. And you know, because it is such a rare disease, many times people have to really fight with their insurance provider in order to get those medications covered. So fortunately, as I said before, there's a lot of new treatments on the market within the last couple of years. So we have seen that because there are more treatments, insurance providers are becoming more and more aware of the disease. So it has become a little bit easier to get those approved. But at the same time, we always want to advocate, you know, for our patients. You had mentioned research, which is a really important component. We don't actually conduct the research ourselves, but we're involved with a lot of groups on a national basis and international basis that always recruit individuals to participate in studies about myasthenia gravis. So we sort of serve as a gatekeeper in those capacities, where if they're looking to find individuals to participate in a new study, we can help them identify those individuals. We had a gentleman recently that was identified. He actually was able to travel out to California, participate in some focus groups, and some research opportunities arose from that. So we try on a lot of levels just to raise awareness. And as I said before, not just from a patient and family perspective, but from a healthcare provider perspective, and then also the community at large.
Wow. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, imagine being, you know, having a full-time job and being diagnosed, because most of the people that are being diagnosed, as you said, are like, they're mid-careerists, right? I mean, these are people who are working full-time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you will on occasion see someone, as I mentioned before, the person who sort of founded our organization, his daughter was in her teens. And then we do see people who are diagnosed a little later in life. But yeah, for the most part, you know, you're probably looking at someone, you know, somewhere in that range of maybe 30s to 50s. Yeah, so you know, probably in the middle of their career, in their middle of their sort of family, if they're, you know, raising children or you know, helping with their grandchildren. So all of these things related to myasthenia gravis and sort of that weakness that it can cause, the sort of upheaval that it can cause related to the usage of your voluntary muscles, can really be impactful for people with the disease.
Amazing. So another piece of what you do, besides working with the individual, as you kind of mentioned, this was working with physicians and educating physicians on diagnosis. And you have a lot of experience in that in your liaison work. But, you know, it's not often that perhaps like a PCP would come across this, right? Like who's usually the diagnoser?
So it's interesting. A lot of times it is sort of coming out of that PCP office because sometimes myasthenia can impact a person's vision. It's called ocular myasthenia gravis. We do see people getting diagnosed from their eye doctor on occasion.
Really?
But yeah, so many times what we try to do is, you know, provide that first layer of support to those offices. Not that they would necessarily be managing the person's illness going forward. Usually that occurs on a neurology level. There's, you know, multiple neurologists in Western Pennsylvania that specialize in myasthenia gravis. So what our goal is once they're identified, really supporting that PCP sort of first level physician to then, you know, get them connected with the neurologist who, you know, can then help manage in terms of medication or other types of treatment that may be appropriate for that individual.
You have physicians that reach out to you a lot for information.
We do, and a lot of times it's interesting. Obviously, with the pandemic, I think a lot of people turned to the internet for better or worse in terms of a lot of what they consume, not only from a healthcare perspective, but just from a general information perspective. So we get a lot of people, not necessarily always physicians or physicians' offices, but patients and family members specifically. Mostly that will find our website and really start to become their own best advocate, which is something we really say to people is that we're here to support you, but you need to be your own best champion. You need to really take charge of your healthcare. But yeah, we will get calls from individuals, and a lot of times what will happen is we may not get the call from the physician themselves, but maybe someone in their office, or they'll sort of instruct the patient or family to reach out to us, and then we're able to give them that initial layer of information, connect them with some of our volunteers who do a lot of telephonic education with them, and sort of prepare them for that initial visit with the neurologist. What are good questions to ask? Who may be the best fit in terms of the neurologist from them, in terms of geography, and then also just sort of what they're looking for in terms of the types of treatment provided. So we really look at ourselves as that initial gatekeeper, and then the support mechanism once they're sort of connected with that neurologist, being able to add additional layers of support and education, because I'm sure a lot of people are aware, physicians are so busy based on how our healthcare system is modeled. They are really able to provide, that initial layer and then the follow-up, but sort of adding some meat to the bones of what the care is, that's where we really get involved for sure.
Yeah, for sure. This takes a lot of work, a lot of coordination, a lot of communication. What are all the ways people can connect with your organization?
Yeah, there's really multiple ways they can. Like I said, we have a pretty robust website. We're actually working to even do more with that website in 2025. But our website is www.mgawpa.org. So I would welcome people to go there. There is a lot of information, not only about the disease itself, but programming we have, both from education, but also fundraising perspective. We have pretty active Facebook and Twitter accounts. And again, you could just go to our website to be linked into those. But then they can also call our office, and our office number is area code 412-566-1545. And as I said, we have numerous volunteers that work within the organization. Several in particular really have taken the lead on being a really good support system for our patients. We offer monthly in-person support group meetings that are run through our volunteers. We also offer, as I said before, like a telephonic intervention where people can interact with that person on the phone, learn a little bit more about the disease, and really begin to set up a good game plan for the next time they go see their physician, to have good questions to ask and really begin to drive their healthcare through that, through their neurologist or other healthcare team members.
That access to research and support, I mean, I'm sure it's absolutely overwhelming. I mean, what is the prognosis for many of these individuals in terms of working and quality of life?
So one of the really positive things is that myasthenia gravis, if well managed, a person can live a very quote unquote normal lifestyle. The really challenge is to number one get them diagnosed because it is so rare. Many times it's maybe the third, fourth, fifth thing on the checkoff list of the physician, and because it presents itself in many ways like a stroke. Obviously, those are very acute issues that need to be sort of ruled out very quickly for the safety and well-being of the patient. So it may take a while for that individual with myasthenia gravis to be diagnosed. But once they're diagnosed, there are different treatment options. It may take a little bit of time, some tweaking of medications, some trial and error to see what works best for that individual. But once someone's on a good medication plan, good treatment plan, many times we see people living very normal, quote unquote normal lives, still having a job, still being able to go on vacation, raising children. But as with any disease, they sort of just have to know there may be good days and bad days. They may have a day where they wake up and their MG's flared up a little bit, and they have to take it a little bit easier that day. But that doesn't mean that that's sort of what they're going to live the rest of their life. It is a disease that people can live with, and many times, can live late into their years. We have people that are in their 80s and 90s that have myasthenia gravis that have had it for years and have been able to manage it appropriately with the help of their physician and organizations like MGA.
Wonderful. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about one of your big Christmas fundraisers that are coming up, something that everyone can do. You don't even have to travel to do it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm here today with a good friend of mine, Jim Joyce. He is the executive director of the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania. You do so much, Jim, and you're such a good spokesperson for this organization. I mean, you have really put these folks on the map. And a lot of what you do, I know a lot of your time is spent in raising money to continue the work that you're doing. So tell us about your event coming up in December, please.
Yeah, and again, thank you for this opportunity. We are hosting our fifth annual, I can't believe we've already had five of these, MGA Virtual Holiday Paint and Sip Celebration. So that's definitely a mouthful. So let me explain a little bit what that is. So we started this 5 years ago. We were right in the middle of the COVID pandemic. And obviously, organizations like ours, because we rely so heavily on donations, we had to think of ways to have fundraisers that we weren't able to do in person. So one of our board members had suggested, could we do something where, we centered around the holidays and we have some type of entertainment, but then also give the ability to have people enjoy some, wine or spirits, whatever they choose. So we came up with this idea of having a virtual painting party with some wine tasting as well. And we figured that's a good combination. People love to paint, and if they don't necessarily like to paint, we're sure they'll love wine. And maybe if they have a little bit of wine, they'll like to paint a little bit more. So that was sort of the foundation of this. And 5 years later, we're still going strong. We still have a great turnout and response to this. One of the things that we had talked about after the pandemic was, should we maybe move this to an in-person event? And we had so many people sort of follow back with us when we asked that question that were from outside of the area. You had mentioned, people don't have to travel to participate. We actually have people from Connecticut, from Georgia, Kentucky, Ohio, as well as Pennsylvania, participating in the event. So, we're really excited that people look at this as maybe a kickoff to their holiday season. They're excited every year when we do it. And that's why we continue to do it virtually, because we wanted to give those people from outside of the area a chance to participate and support the organization. We figured this was the best way to do that. So in terms of this year's event, it's taking place on Thursday, December 12th. And we have that in the evening. It usually starts around 7 o'clock, and we'll go until about 8:30. Sometimes we go a little bit longer, depending, if people want to stay on, but we usually have that from 7 to 8:30. And what we ask is for a $50 donation to MGA. And for that $50 donation, they'll receive a link, a Zoom link to participate in the event. But they also get all the supplies to create their artwork. And as I mentioned before, myasthenia gravis is many times called the snowflake disease. So we thought that was a great tie-in, especially with sort of with the holiday-themed event. So every year we've done some kind of snowflake-inspired artwork. And the person that leads that artwork, I'm sure you know her, Jen. She's from Westmoreland County. Her name is Christy Walter. She is an art therapist and is a wonderful person, very entertaining. She's one of those people that loves art and loves to assist people in loving art like she does. So she does a great job for us. So you'll receive all the supplies necessary to make your own snowflake-inspired artwork. And then you'll also receive two bottles of wine from Cavock Winery. And I think I've probably mentioned them when we've talked before, but Dr. Michael Cavock and his wife, Pat, own and operate this winery out of Carnegie, Pennsylvania. And they are great, great friends and partners of MGA. They go out of their way every year to make sure that we're sampling all the wines, because in talking to them, I've learned that from year to year, based on the grape harvest, wines may taste a little different. So what a wine tasted like last year may taste a little bit different this year, just based on the grape harvest. So they have us trying different wines, picking what we want for the event. So you'll get two bottles of this wonderful wine from Cavock Winery during the event. Obviously, we'll be having you paint, but then also Dr. Cavock will give a little overview of the wines, what to pair them with in terms of food or other other things, and really explain what went into making that wine. So not only is it a fun night, but it also, you know, educates people on some different resources and different businesses here in Western Pennsylvania, which we always like to support our local businesses. And again, just a fun time. We have many people that they'll be on their Zoom call and they have 8 to 10 of their friends in the room with them. And they really use it as a way to kick off the holidays and have a nice holiday celebration with their friends going forward. So if anyone is interested, probably the easiest way is just to contact our office, which again, that number is 412-566-1545. And just if you get the voicemail, just leave a message and we will definitely get back in touch with you. And what we normally do is we either will deliver all those supplies to you or we'll have pickup locations throughout Westmoreland, Allegheny, some of the other surrounding counties. We'll have a specific day and time where you can come and pick the materials up. We try to make it as easy as possible for people to be involved and really take part in this fun event.
My goodness, it sounds just absolutely wonderful. And you know, the artist, does she host it from her studio or where does she usually host it from?
So she actually, the last couple of years has just hosted from her home. She has a home studio.
Okay.
So it's always very decorative and she's always very lively and, you know, has her holiday apparel on. So a few years ago, we sort of had a craziest Christmas hat portion of the event. So, you know, it seems like every year we probably should do like an ugly sweater event here one of these years, but just whatever way people want to celebrate, we welcome that for sure.
Well, I mean, listen, there are things that COVID changed drastically, and this is kind of like one of those things changed for the better in terms of still being able to connect with people, but in the comfort of their homes. Now, I think I could be wrong, but maybe for somebody with myasthenia gravis, it's probably easier to do it this way as well.
Yeah. And again, we really want to try to make it as easy as possible for people to participate. So absolutely. If someone, especially maybe if they are having a day where they're maybe just not feeling up to going out or being in a large group, this would be a great way for an individual. And, you know, obviously the act of painting, although it is fine motor skills, hopefully, you know, that they're able to do that and really enjoy it. But one of the things Christy says, and I totally agree with her, you know, artwork is your own. So whether you think it looks great or you think it doesn't look great, that's okay. And no one's judging that night. We've seen some artwork that is absolutely beautiful coming out of this event. So, you know, whatever people do, we just hope they enjoy it and can, you know, use it as a decoration in their home or maybe give it to a friend of theirs, whatever they choose to do with it, but really cherish those memories that they make that evening.
I might have missed it. You might have said it already. Do we know the theme of the painting? It's going to be Christmas, winter, I would imagine.
Yeah, so it's snowflake inspired.
Snowflake inspired. Okay.
Yeah, so I actually just communicated with Christy earlier today, and she is going to be sort of putting together what the artwork will be this year over this weekend. So stay tuned. Keep an eye on our Facebook page, on our Twitter account. We'll be sending out some photos of what the artwork will look like. We'll also probably send out some information information on the wines that were chosen for this year. So we will definitely be pushing that out, you know, via email, social media, and hopefully that will help people become more and more excited about participating.
And when you say you receive everything, I mean, it's just literally shipped to your house?
So what we normally do, if someone is out of the area, like I said, we do have some people that are from out of state, we will ship the art supplies. Due to commerce and, you know, delivering alcohol across state lines, we always can't get the alcohol shipped. What we'll normally do is if someone's out of state, we'll sort of give them a rebate or a reduction, just, you know, because they're not receiving the wine. But a lot of times what we'll do, especially if the individuals are more local, we'll hand deliver the materials to their home, or we'll have a pickup location and they can pick it up. Well, normally what we'll do is we'll have it in a festive Christmas bag with all the art supplies and the wine. So it's very easy to transport and sort of store in their home before they need it, before the event. So they have it ready to go that evening.
That is just so fun. Who came up with this idea?
Like I said, a couple of our board members, we sort of brainstorm about, you know, what we could do because we were really limited in terms of getting people together for events. So I was on some different meetings with some national marketing companies and fundraising companies, and they had talked about virtual events and, you know, ran everything from galas to bingos to, you know, other types of things. And so we took this back and someone said, hey, how about like a wine and wine tasting and painting? And so that's sort of what we came up with, and we ran with it and just sort of worked out well with the holidays. And it's been a nice fit ever since then.
Wow. This is just so, it's so exciting. I think it sounds like a wonderful event. That's Thursday, December 12th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. That's the fifth annual MGA Virtual Holiday Paint and Sip Celebration. What a fun way. For your $50 donation, you get a link to participate in the paint and sip, the supplies to create your own snowflake artwork, two bottles of wine, and you love that winery, huh, Jim? Cavick, you like it there.
They are great people. I would highly recommend if you're looking to make a little trip out to Carnegie, stop by and see the Cavicks. They will take very good care of you.
Wonderful. No sneak peek on the wine yet, though. We don't know if it's going to be red or white.
Actually, we provide a bottle of each. So, okay. Yeah, so we try to make it where, you know, if you prefer the red, you know, you have something to like. If you prefer the white, you know, you're good to go as well. And that should be coming out along with the artwork, I would say, within the next week to 10 days.
Okay. All right. So people will stay tuned. And again, all the ways they can connect with you. Why don't you go over that so they can learn how to connect with you either for this event or just in general?
Sure. So probably the easiest way, especially for this event, is just to call our office, which is area code 412-566-1545. But to learn more about the organization, I would really probably direct you to our website, which is www.mgawpa.org. And there's tons of information on the website. There's also links to our Facebook and our Twitter accounts. We would love for you to follow us there. Make sure you get all the updates about our education programming, different advocacy efforts we're working on, and then obviously different fundraisers going forward in the future.
Yeah, there's so much going on. Everything, you had your comedy with a cause. You were happy with that? That went well?
Yeah. We're planning probably to do that again, probably maybe about a year from now, or maybe looking next fall. Okay. We try to spread these out, so, you know, we're not overwhelming people with event after month after month. So we'll be doing that again. We always get a good response, good turnout. But maybe when we roll into that, we can talk again.
Wonderful. Well, Jim Joyce, the executive director of the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania. They do support education and advocacy for this rare disease. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jen. As always, greatly appreciated, and have a wonderful holiday.
You too. If you have an idea for the show, this show airs on W HJB every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. Please call the station. Let us know. We'd love to have you on the show. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Thanks for listening.